click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
I always say your mind is your greatest asset. You need to take care of it. As an e-hailing driver again, I've heard a lot of ladies that come in here and vent about the abuse they enjoy at the workplace. I can name at the top of my head five people who come in here and vent about such. So I do feel like management sometimes don't have a disconnect with their employees, that they don't know what's going on. And of the five that I say I can name from the top of my head, are young women who endure abuse from their older women, surprisingly. You see that a lot of them are crying that, no, some so-and-so a person who is supposed to be my mother even is doing so-and-so a thing to me. In fact, one lady even says she went to an extent of even stabbing, because they work in a kitchen, stabbing the older lady because of the how much, you know, it just overwhelmed her how much she had to spend on therapy and everything.
Hi, Gugu. Parked on the side because this conversation with Ronald just sent light bulbs, and I just imagined myself in the corporate world that I'm in. And what stood out is what Ronald said: how do we nourish the soil of the organization? And we are basically the soil to make the organization to thrive. But we honestly do pull ourselves just to go to work, but we are not really there. We are not there. And what he's sharing is so accurate. Most organizations do work on legacy systems. They look at numbers. Oh, okay, make sure that you score above 8. We don't want to be dealing with the below 5s. Then means we need to implement stuff whereby every day it's just making sure that your people are good.
Well, there you heard a few voice notes there reflecting on the conversation we had around Corporate Wellness Week. It's within this week and ultimately does give us a better understanding of wellness in the workplace. Is it just the yoga days, the smoothie you get and an apple and a yoga mat? I've experienced some of those. Or is it more deliberate and intentional in terms of cultivating a culture of unity? And it does seem as though many people are struggling with mental health concerns in the workplace, the stress, the anxiety. As you heard Mbazo commenting on his experience from reflections in previous conversations, and Wusi Tumi also highlighting some of the frustrations that are felt. Share your thoughts with us. It's an ongoing conversation. 0636880959. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Ekasinomics on Kaya Biz.
If there's anything we do very well that we pride ourselves on this show, is the continuous support, information, and elevation of entrepreneurs that we provide here in the country and on the show. If you know anything about Kaya Biz, you'd be well aware that not only do we talk about these vast array of big economic themes, big company results, but you and I, the individuals who wake up with a dream, with an ambition, and then are bold enough to bootstrap, raise the capital, ensure that we put our ideas pen to paper, and most importantly, go out into the trenches and create these products and services that we know have a positive impact in the environments we serve. Tonight, we speak to one such entrepreneur who has done exactly that, built a formidable brand of clothing, fashion wear for toddlers and children, which has grown in terms of its success, its outcomes, and most importantly, trying to drive a different level of home-created outcomes for South Africans. Today, we're joined by the founder of Calfame & Co., Kakeho Makopa, who joins us to tell us more. Such a pleasure to have you in studio, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Gogo. Thank you so much for affording me the opportunity to be here.
Oh, I'm super excited to speak to you. So I don't have kids yet, but I am that cool aunt who literally, when I walk into a store and see anything for my nieces and nephews, who range in age, by the way,
okay,
I pick something up. So I'm seeing something here in front of me that looks divine.
Thank you.
And someone might be thinking, hold on, toddlers clothing and essentially clothing and fashion wear for children. Why go into such a competitive space when there's a huge number of retail outlets that are already here? So talk to us about Calfame and why you do what you do.
So Calfame & Co., it's a boy brand.
Mm-hmm.
What differentiates us from our competitors is that we are a boutique online store that caters mainly for boys from the ages of 1 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
As a boy mom, I did struggle to find unique clothing for my son and in sets. So we actually sell sets. When you go online and you pick something that gets your attention, it's a jacket, top, and the bottom.
I see that. Beautiful sets. And some of these could work on my niece right now, who's a year old. So
absolutely. We're actually getting quite a lot of moms that are buying these sets for their girls. So in their mind, they're like, no, this is unisex. These are too cute, so unique. So we can't stop them.
Exactly. As you say, this came off from a need that you had yourself. You became creative and innovative. I understand boys' clothes are typically more expensive than girls, especially at that particular age. So how did you penetrate into the market? Because looking at the quality of the goods that you produce, this could easily be on any shelf. So starting the boutique, sourcing the clothing, then deciding to implement a retail model. Talk us through that journey so that we understand just where you started from.
So look, what we had noticed is that boys don't have a variety of colors. Let's start there. It's your normal browns, blacks, blues, reds.
Yep.
And I love color. I think children are still young. They need to be exposed to color.
Yeah.
Have a different look, a different feel. I mean, you would also know, Gugu, as an adult, you dress to make yourself feel good.
True.
And that's how I want the boys to feel. We saw a gap. We were not finding anything specific that met our needs for our boy. I started doing some research, looked for suppliers. Not in South Africa, mm-hmm, unfortunately. So our suppliers are out of the South African market,
mm-hmm,
and we built a very good relationship. They understood our needs, they understood the positioning of our brand, and it was easy for them to source certain items for our brand, Calfame & Co. So that's how it all started. And I mean, this all started just after COVID, so it wasn't easy to get into the mall space purely because of retail pricing, yeah, and so forth. If we needed to put up a store, it means that our prices would be out of our purpose of trying to provide clothing that is quite affordable, not losing the premium quality. So that's why we decided to stick to the online concept, which also gives individuals out of Gauteng to have access to the clothing as well.
Exactly. I'm glad that you highlight that, right? Finding ways of remaining competitive to still speak to the needs of your customer, mm-hmm, but also their pocket. So e-commerce is the way that you've gone.
Absolutely.
It's a growing trend. And as you say, post-pandemic, something that we've become a lot more comfortable with when it comes to making purchases for clothing. Kakeo, you mentioned something so important, and I think this does need to be reflected on, because sometimes as South Africans, we're made to feel guilty about seeking partners, opportunities, and ways of reducing our cost inputs, finding good quality that does speak to the competitiveness that we're trying to build. And that speaks to, you know, the international suppliers that you have. And maybe take us there, because you do operate in a very unique space, fashion and clothing, which relies on the textiles industry, which we know in a country like South Africa, unfortunately, has diminished in terms of its performance. But talk us through your journey of finding the right partners and suppliers, especially those abroad, because I believe that in as much as we might do our research online, sometimes there might be a few nuances that we as entrepreneurs need to learn about finding the right allies that can take us a step further in our journey.
So, Gugu, with regards to our suppliers and our partnership, we are looking for long-term, not just transactional.
Yes.
And we needed to make them understand the positioning of our brand, especially within the South African market. And we had to basically guide them of what we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going to just settle for anything for the sake of just bringing in clothing and to just start the brand.
I like that. So that there's a constant engagement to say, exactly. No, fix this.
No, change that. No, this was wrong. It's out of our reach. It's not what we're looking for. So, and they actually now started understanding who we were. And for the fact that they could come to us and say, we've actually got something exciting to show you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this? That actually showed me that they understood our positioning
mm-hmm.
in this highly competitive market within the retail space or e-commerce space.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the pricing, we had to negotiate. Yes, the customs and so forth does add on to the final costing or pricing of the product.
Yes.
But they were so kind to understand that we were a new business and we had to find ways to balance it, that they don't lose and we don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about communication and understanding and teaching somebody else of our purpose.
Yes. Definitely. And I think that's so important because you understood your purpose. It was easy for you to communicate
yeah.
it. And as you mentioned, the most important thing was definitely the price point.
Yeah.
I can imagine for any parent when you're trying to build a wardrobe for a child mm-hmm. and you know they're going to outgrow it in a matter of months, you know, pricing is something that we are sensitive to just as we look at our economy. And looking at your price range, you know, really affordable and competitive,
mm-hmm.
Not only with local retailers, but even some of those that are online as well. I'm looking at different sets and, you know, I'm seeing from like 180, 240, upwards to like 806, depending on, you know, the size, the quality, not the quality, but rather the set and the pieces in the set. Even looking at some of the items in front of me, beautiful and stunning. And I'm keen to understand, as a mother, what's your engagement and feedback being like from your client base? Because I can imagine you're hearing from other mothers who are talking about durability, you know, the style and affordability. So talk us through how you, I guess, went through doing sufficient research on your clientele.
So, look, I actually put myself in many other parents' shoes mm-hmm. or mothers' shoes. The frustration of going to a retail store, you see a mannequin and you tell yourself, okay, this is the whole set that I want.
Yes.
You get into the store, it's actually paying for each different item. Then you find out there are no sizes. You get the pants that is a bigger size to your son, the top. So that was it's very frustrating when it comes to your shopping experience. So I'm not just serving the product in terms of just quality, but convenience. Convenience is very key.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, our lives right now, we're living in a fast
pace.
Yeah,
there's a lot
There's a lot going on. And that's what we were trying to do, offer you convenience without losing that quality and the pricing. But we've received such positive outcome
really
from all our customers. And it's so beautiful when you actually see the dads.
Really?
We've had in our pop-up stores where the dads come in and they're like, this is so different. I think I've had one who was like, I actually came into the store because of the colors.
Wow.
And they were so scared to come in because they thought that we were the Diamond Walk store.
We've seen a few of those in the past.
Mm. And he was so impressed. He actually bought quite a number of items for his son. And the son was like, no, I want to change into my new clothing now. We've had a lot of mothers that said, you know, we love the fact that your clothing are bigger cuts
yes.
because these kids grow so quickly. You don't want to be shopping every year for various items. So hearing that and the quality, and pricing,
yes.
it's been a very good positive response from our target market or our audience.
Definitely. What I love about what you're describing as well is, you know, having a real touch point with the customer base, so you not only experience what it is they're going through, you know it and you understand mm-hmm. it, and it's easy to resonate and relate to it. I guess going back to the entrepreneurial drive, we often hear about the key frustrations that entrepreneurs experience: access to markets, access to capital, and at times even the right mentoring and support.
Mm-hmm.
How have you navigated these three, if you could take us through them? You know, making sure you have the right customer base and access to markets, raising the capital. Did you have to bootstrap, beg family, friends, and fools?
I've been very blessed to have a very good support system. I've been surrounded by entrepreneurs. I listen to them speak. I ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
I'm one to also do a lot of my own research. We've we've really actually had such a good support system, my partner and I, with regards to funding as well. It's not easy.
And maybe tell us what kind of funding, because that's also what we want to get to, right? So often as entrepreneurs, you'll hear someone saying they want a loan, but they go to a private equity firm. Someone saying they're looking for a grant, but then they go to a bank. And ultimately, it's that mismatch that takes place, and even inadequate preparation in terms of their books and their compliance. So how have you walked that journey in identifying the right funders, even if it has been independent right now? And you know, where are you looking to grow going forward?
So to answer your question with regards to the funding, a lot of sacrifices had to be taken in terms of going to our savings.
Real entrepreneurship, that.
That is, you close your eyes, you want to bring your vision alive, and you just bite the bullet. So we, and the partner, we had to get into the savings. So it wasn't an easy choice, but we're like, we've been sitting on this idea, now it's time. Let's see what happens. Guys, it's business. You take risks.
And there's no such thing as failure. Truth is, it's lessons and you fail forward, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's more of a teaching than a beating. So
teaching instead of a beating.
Yeah, absolutely. And you learn on the way. You know, you learn on the way. Another thing that's also helped with me gaining more knowledge or insight in retail, it's reading. You know, reading God is My CEO. There's various books that I've read that have taught me of the entrepreneurial world. So, and it's not easy. It's actually more difficult than being an employee. You work 10 times harder.
This is so important. And maybe let's go there, only because we had an earlier conversation taking a look at wellness in the workplace, and it is Corporate Wellness Week. And that's easy to distill perhaps when there's a big ship that you operate under. You know, there's a mother body, it's a big corporate, there's systems and processes in place. But as an entrepreneur, how have you prioritized your wellness? Because depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions from a negative point of view are real factors. So what does support look like for you?
Good, this might sound cliche, but prayer.
Right.
Prayer.
Yep.
You have to be your biggest cheerleader. There's no time to be sucking on your own wounds or licking your own wounds. You have to pick yourself up. And making sure that you've got the right people in your on your side, that you're able to communicate to, that's able to, you know, that got your best interest, where you know that you're comfortable to speak out. So it's about, once again, the company that you keep.
100%.
Is very, very vital.
I think that's so critical, and I'm glad that you're being so, so honest about it, because that's the truth, right? You need something to work as an anchor and level of support for you as an entrepreneur. Katleho, we do have a question that's come through from one of our listeners, Dumelo. She's shy to send a voice note, so they sent a text. It reads, "Hi, Kuku, can we please get the spelling of the kids' clothing brand and website?" So there's a customer on standby here.
Google, we are, what's her name? Sorry about that.
Dumelo.
Dumelo, we are waiting for you. It is calfame.co.
Got you.
Okay.
And the pronunciation of it, calfame is,
it's
what you
say. It's calfame.
What does it mean?
Is
it?
So calf, the word, obviously a baby cow.
Got you.
And then kilfami, it's actually a Swahili word for royalty. So we say our boys are royalty because they are our little prince that grow up into kings.
How beautiful and how important. You know, we've just come out of June, which was men's health
exactly.
Awareness month. And I think so important that, as you say, you know, cultivating that culture, that understanding and that awareness in young men as soon as they toddlers and really grow up. But as we always close off with when we speak to any entrepreneur, we never know who's listening, Katleho. The beauty of radio is that there could be a funder, there could be someone who works in policy, there could be someone who also works, you know, within the courier business. I do see that you do have a partner in that arena. Or someone else who wants to, you know, just assist as an intern. But what is it that you need? Tell us the top two things you need, and then you can remind us about where to find you and reach out.
First of all, we would love to grow. We would like to add value to our economy by obviously increasing employment.
Yes.
And in order for us to contribute towards that is for us to have physical stores. Yes, we've got the e-commerce, but we've also noticed at our pop-up stores, which are actually temporary, obviously, people actually still want to go into a physical store, feel and engage with the brand, ask questions, you know. So, and it's much easier.
Mm.
I mean, you know, when you want to do that quick purchase, you go to the store, you get out, as opposed to waiting for a couple of days or weeks to get your product. You know, that excitement is still there. So we would love to see ourselves having physical stores. You know, growing the brand, not just with the clothing, but maybe getting accessories.
Oh.
As time goes by, we know that our boys like the backpacks, the sneakers that go with the clothing, the hats, you know, swimwear. So that's where we want to actually increase our product offering. So that's where we would like to see ourselves, not hiding ourselves behind the e-commerce space.
Definitely. A reminder of your website, calfame.co,
C-A-L-F-A-M-E. calfame.co.
Fantastic. So stunning. And if you go onto the website, there are beautiful boys on the website too. I feel like singing that song, Sipo no no no.
Yes.
Sama ma ke.
Sipo no no no.
Right? Oh, business doesn't have to be boring. I absolutely love this conversation, Kakira, and we wish you all the best.
Thank
more
you
growth,
so much.
More success, and loving the fact that you are taking a route that many perhaps have been intimidated by, that many perhaps might be afraid of. But the truth is, you know, it's where you find the courage to be a trailblazer, there where you can truly make an impact, live in your purpose, and drive a contribution to the people around you and the economy. So all the best, and
thank
we wish you,
you
the
so
most
much,
success.
Gugu. Thank you.
Thank you. Katleho Makopa is the founder of Calfame & Co. That's Calfame & Co. Whether you have a nephew, niece, son, daughter, a godchildren, do best. Support South African businesses who are making an impact in providing us with the needs that we have as consumers. And that's where we leave it for Kaya Biz tonight. It's been such a blast having you with us, and thank you so much for all your time. And of course, most importantly, joining us in conversation with the various guests that we have been speaking to. So we are going to wrap up with just one voice note that we have from Sbusiso Kubeka.
Kuletu. Kuku. You know what? My biggest question to the NYDA incoming CEO is that what are his plans into ensuring that the purpose of the NYDA is fulfilled and that the budget is fully spent for programs, whether it's entrepreneurship or youth, any form of empowerment, like employment, you know? From experience, I've applied, and because I'm a young entrepreneur, 2 years ago, and every time I've done follow-ups, no, we are in the list, we have a backlog, it's your application is good, it's coming together. We are now currently doing maybe they'll mention alphabets that are before your surname. So my surname starts with K, and they'll be like, no, we are still doing E for 2023. So yours is coming, it's on the way. So I'm curious as to how does he plan to expedite that process?
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.